This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
A place for information and talk.
Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
It's 1921 here in Power Business. Move on now to Ask Your HR. Today, we're reflecting on extended family and justifying grief of extended family members, especially because, of course, I think the act, the laws might make provision for a close family. But in African cultures, lots of people who are not from your parents' home, for instance, might actually form a part of your close relatives. And sometimes when you married in-laws, you know, that's also an important one there. I don't think there's even provision made for those kinds of permutations. So joining us this evening is Boniwe Dunster, who's HR executive at the Lanseria International Airport, to unpack this issue and how to maneuver through it. Boniwe, good evening. Thank you for your time this evening.
Good evening, Nolutanda, and good evening to the power listeners.
Of course, anyway, this issue is rather complex here, you know, in Africa for Africans. I guess in other cultures, it's very clear cut on who's close, who isn't, you know, where should compassionate or family leave be extended or where not. But for Africans, way more nuanced.
Yeah. In an African context or in Black communities, most times it's very difficult to explain yourself in terms of who's your mother, who's your father. In most instances, some people don't even know their biological parents, grew up in orphanages, or were, you know, raised by family members. And then something happens, and then you need to actually say to your manager that, you know, my mom passed away, but they would go like, but you said you don't know your mom. But according to you, your mom is somebody who raised you from birth or who actually took care of you the longest and made you who you are. And it becomes difficult in that instance because we like being black and white as people, right? And legislation says that you're only, you know, entitled to 3 days of family responsibility leave, and it states the relationships in which this particular leave is applicable for. And it makes it difficult for those extended families or people that are close to you. In certain instances, you are the only child at home and your cousins are your siblings, right? So it becomes very difficult for one to navigate that. And I think for me, it's really around, you know, applying management discretion. There's something that we call management discretion in workplaces, but we also choose when to apply our own discretion. It also depends also on the relationship that you have with your line manager, because if you have an open relationship, and we're not necessarily saying a personal relationship, but if you have a close relationship, then one would know, you know, your family structure and your family dynamics, and they would understand if you said, somebody passed away from my family. But it's not like that. We like taking it only to the basic conditions of employment, keeping it to 3 days. At most, they give 5 days. But sometimes it can differ, especially if you are in South Africa or in other African country, but working for global organizations, because in other companies globally, they differentiate between, you know, your first level of family, second level, and third level, and they could make provisions for those. We are yet to see that applying in our South African labor legislation context.
It's very confusing for me when you were that in an African work, you know, setting, we wouldn't have made a provision for that, because it is so much of us, you know, and it's something that could happen so frequently. Is it a matter of us just not maybe pushing hard enough for the legislation to start to make room for it? And the reason I ask that is because even, you know, the issue of management discretion, the relationship you have with your line manager, if the buck stops with another person and that relationship can be strained, it can be good, it can be complicated, then that's quite... that's quite a big thing to have to overcome in order for you to show up for family the way that you should.
Definitely it is, right? And it goes back to your point to say the labor legislation in South Africa actually covers a lot of things, Nolutando. And we have made strides from, you know, from 1996 when the constitution came into effect. We do see an improvement in terms of the basic conditions of employment or the labor legislation, but I don't think we are there yet. So there is still a lot of things that we still need to fight for. And unfortunately, this is one that really, you know, has not really made it, you know, to the forefront of many other things. It's only now recently, you know, where people have that 4 months maternity leave. Now it's even extending to male, you know, partners also getting that. So I think we are moving in the right direction. However, we are not, moving fast enough. And as I'm saying, a lot of companies, they talk about their employee value proposition. They really get to talk about employee wellness in the workplace, right? And it's one of those things where your family responsibility leave or your bereavement leave or funeral leave, as it might be outlined, it actually must form part of wellness. Because when you're talking about wellness, you're talking about your emotional wellness as well, right? You know, what is it? Are you in the right emotional state for you to present yourself to work, to be productive to the most of your ability? And if you have lost someone close, you wouldn't be. Now the question becomes, in all of these beautiful policies and EVPs that we have, if somebody says, I am not well because I lost my uncle who played a father figure because my father passed away when I was 3 years old, you know, how do you cater? How do you cater for that? And it also talks to the flexibility, you know, of our policies as well and of our legislation. But one thing I want to also put out there as well is that with the legislation, the basic conditions of employment, it's actually that. It's basic. Mm. It's not taking away from employers giving you more. So employers have the opportunity, they have the chance, they have the ability to give more. What legislation is saying, if it's basic, you can't grant somebody anything less than. So they can give more, and that's why you see other companies are giving 3 days as per the legislation, and other companies are giving 5 days. So the 5 days that they give is over and above what the basic conditions of employment state. So there is a room, you know, for us to explore, for us to expand the wellness concept or the wellness offering that we have, but also understanding from a cultural perspective, you know, when we're talking about inclusion and you're talking about diversity and belonging, it actually has to drill down to those minute, you know, details, right? Who do you consider as family? Who are the most important people in your life? And companies can even go to an extent of saying, because legislation limits us to this group of people, which other people would you like to add so that we know? You know what I mean? So that it's just not also, you know, open-ended and people can abuse that, because there's also a financial element, because this type of leave is also paid leave. So employers will also need to look at the financial feasibility of that. And hence I'm saying, if legislation gives these people as important, do you have any other people that you believe should be added into this that we can make a provision for? And probably we can say we're giving you 10 days, a year, which is much better than 3, which is much better than 5. So I think this is an opportunity for employers to try to explore different options to go over and above the basic conditions of employment and to also enhance their wellness offering.
Those were the aspects when you were here, I guess, of, the mental health implications. Before we get into that, we do have a voice note from Ayanda who would like to weigh in. Ayanda, let's hear the voice note.
Hi, Nolitando. I think it's very tricky when you come from a Black family because you are very tight with your extended family. So our aunts and our uncles, we call them ubabomncane nomamkhulu. So we see them as our parents. And whether our parents are dead or alive, we have very close relationships with our aunts and our uncles. Our grandparents are our grandparents, whether it's immediate or it could be your grandmother's sister or your grandfather's brother. And I've had so many occasions where I've had to not go to a funeral because it's during the week and I have to go to work and I have to now try and justify whose funeral this is when it's not an immediate member of the family. Even a cousin is difficult to get time to go to their funeral. So family responsibility leave as it stands right now is only about 3 days, and it should be increased to more days so that we don't have to justify the reasons why we're taking time off to attend funerals of extended family members. So I think companies need to reassess the leave process and understand the processes of Black families and how close-knit we are and how we support one another.
Right, when you were there, and voice note from, and I think certainly reiterating what we've been discussing.
Definitely, right? And I want to take it back to the concept of inclusion and diversity. When we talk about diversity in the workplace, most of the time we're talking about race, gender, in certain instances about the backgrounds and, you know, the skills that we have. But does it really, when you talk about background, does it really talk about your background, where you're coming from, your upbringing, and what really has made you as a person? And hence I said, we also understand that there's a financial impact to it, and companies need to take that into account. It can be, you know, open-ended. However, you can even identify to say, these are the people that, for me, belong into this close-knit circle, to say, if we're giving you 10 days, we can give you 10 days, and then you might not have to justify who that is, but you always have to support your request with evidence. However, you can say, then who are the people? You know, so what I mean is that companies can actually have different ways of having to manage that. And when you say talking about diversity, have you taken that into context? Because like we say, most people in African cultures, they come from broken families. Families were divided from years ago, you know. Fathers and mothers will stay in provinces apart due to employment or economic reasons, right? Then who stepped in at that point in time? And it is that particular person that you would like to honor, that you would also like to respect because of the contribution that they have made to you. But we haven't taken the conversation to that level from a legislative point of view to influence the legislation. However, like I said, I want to throw it back to the employers to say, what can you do from your own policies and from your own employee value proposition and wellness? Because if an employer now decides to increase that, it doesn't really rely on the legislation. You know, the Department of Labor is not going to come and say, no, you can't give your people 6 days, you can't give your people, you know, 10 days. So certain things we need to also put ourselves in other people's shoes. And we know the context, we understand the context, but unfortunately, in certain circumstances, it's not easy for people to apply it like that. They just say, this is what the policy say, and I'm not going to be able to challenge the policy. I do not have the power to challenge the policy. But at that point in time, you're talking to a senior person, you're talking to an executive, right? But they think they don't have the powers. We actually have the power. We just decide on how to use the power to the benefit either of the organization or of the people or collectively.
Well, Bonnie, I'd like to thank you so much for taking us through this one and also all the nuances, because indeed it is deeply nuanced. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. That's Bonnie Danster, HR Executive at Denseri International Airport.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.